Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. So the last few days, a little bad news out of the Middle East, Israeli attacks on the Iranian consulate in Damascus. And that's not been given the prominence it should, because then obviously Israel came under attack from Iran, from drones, missiles and so forth, a couple of days later. And people say, isn't that horrific? But that was their response to the Israeli strikes killing Iranian diplomats in Syria. Now, admittedly, Iran has killed Israeli diplomats around the globe. So this has been going on this tit for tat really since 1979. There's been a low-level conflict, often a proxy war in the Lebanese civil war, the Israelis back in the Falangist Christian militias, whereas Iran armed, trained, funded Hezbollah, as in the Party of God, that Shia militia, and so on. And it's been played out in Syria as well. Not that Israel backs a side, it's against Islamic State as well against the Assad regime. And obviously the Iranian government doubled down behind the Assad regime. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard were vital in securing the continuation of the Assad family in power in Syria. So the Iranian strikes on Israel seem to be completely a damp squib, did almost no damage. If I'm correct, just one woman was wounded. And that was partly because the United States Air Force and the Royal Air Force, they shot down some of these missiles and drones. Now, the Royal Air Force has got bases in Cyprus, Akroyd, Tire, and I can't remember what the other one is. I don't know where the United States was. I mean, the US has often got military assets in Israel. For decades, there's an agreement that they can actually store some of their munitions assets there for easy deployment in the Middle East, and obviously suits Israel as well. I don't know where the US Air Force took off and the British Air Force bases on Cyprus. Yes, Cyprus is a sovereign state, but was granted independence in 1960. That was conditional on giving the United Kingdom its sovereign base area, which the United Kingdom owns in perpetuity, and Cyprus has no control, direct or indirect, over what goes on there. The difficulty for Cyprus is if then you're trying to hit these British bases on Cyprus, you may well miss the British base and hit Cypriot, so just outside the base. So the United States and the UK, they intervened to help Israel out, thinking this might earn some gratitude, because President Biden behind the scenes, and then in recent weeks publicly, has been beseeching Netanyahu to de-escalate the conflict, to allow more aid in, because Hamas claims about 35,000 Palestinian civilians have been killed in Gaza. 35,000. Now, that may well be an inflation, the true figure, but it's at least several thousands, even taking the most conservative figure from the United Nations, various aid agencies and human rights organizations. So it's a horrific humanitarian situation there. And obviously is extremely damaging to Israel's reputation around the world. So the United States does so much for Israel, giving them billions of dollars a year, even though Israel's a very prosperous country. Wielded the United Nations veto again in favor of Israel. The issue came up, should Palestine be recognized as a state? And no, it's not. It's not one of the 193 member states of the UN. So Palestine is a nation by almost any definition. So they've got their land, they've got their capital, which is Jerusalem, Al-Quds, which the United Nations says to be shared with Israel, and so on. So they're a distinct people. They have an elected government. Even countries with an unelected government are recognized as a country. They've had functioning self-governance there again since the early 90s. Now, admittedly, Hamas in the Gaza does its own thing, as opposed to the West Bank, because obviously they're separated by Israel in between. Could there be two separate countries? That's a possibility. But the United States has always prevented this. So the Palestinians not acknowledged as a nation by the United Nations, but they're recognized by dozens of other countries. Some countries still don't recognize Israel. And so not everybody recognizes Palestine. The United Kingdom shamefully, I'm saying on this, but the recognition of Palestine is decades overdue. So the United States says this has to come at the end of the process. Well, why not the beginning of the process? So it's preposterous. I mean, in every country started out as unrecognized. The United States was not recognized by any other country when it declared independence. I mean, Israel wasn't recognized immediately. So you've got to start somewhere. It doesn't mean that they're not a real sovereign state. And yes, they share Arabic with other countries, but that doesn't mean they're not a nation. It's a bit like saying the United States is not a nation because they speak English. And yes, they're mostly Sunni Muslims, which doesn't mean that they're not a distinct nation. Or yes, they are Arabs and all the rest of it. But yeah, they can have brother or sister nations, but that doesn't mean they're not a nation. If they want to be part of Egypt and or Jordan, as some Israelis say, fine. If the Egyptians, Jordanians are willing to take them, okay, that's another solution. But that doesn't appear to be in the offing. But Netanyahu, they pleaded with him, the US government, the UK, not to do this, and he did it anyway. More attacks against Iran. So the United States does so much for Israel and gets slapped in the face. They sell a lot of their weaponry to Israel, and all right, there's profit in it for US companies, but the US won't sell weapon systems to just anybody. They wouldn't sell to North Korea or China or Russia or Belarus and so on. And despite bending over backwards, despite it damaging America's reputation, despite it heightening anti-American sentiment in much of the Islamic world, the United States continues to be very helpful to Israel. But some Israelis are worried that Netanyahu has pushed them too far. There's growing anti-Zionist sentiment in the United States, a recognition that the Palestinians have been abominably treated for decades. And so obviously Christian fundamentalists in the United States, they tend to be fervently Zionist and viciously anti-Palestinian against all Muslims and Arabs indeed. And obviously the Jewish community in the United States, they often identify with the only Jewish country in the world, but not all Jewish Americans do. There are not that many dual U.S.-Israeli citizens. So unsurprisingly, some American Jews would like to help their co-religionists, but the Jewish community in the United States is very small, only about 3% of the population, which is not to say that there's divided loyalties necessarily. They might see that the national interests of the USA and the state of Israel are coterminous. I don't think it's always true, but that could be a genuine perception, even if it's a misperception. So it's in Iran's interest to quiet this thing down. So it's going to bubble on from time to time. But Iran has been under severe sanctions for about 20 years, with a brief hiatus, the end of the Obama administration and the first year of Donald Trump. They've got a lot of unrest at home over the murder of a woman for not wearing a hijab. So they've got tension with Azerbaijan. Their relations with Pakistan are tetchy. They are hated by Saudi Arabia. They're losing this proxy war in Yemen. They're still engaged in a proxy war in Syria. They really do not need another enemy. Their air defense is very poor. It's decades out of date. It needs upgrades, repairs, spare parts. It's often American equipment they purchased in the 70s when the Shah was there, a pro-Western dictator, or some Soviet era equipment they've managed to get via third countries. The Soviets wouldn't sell it to them. The Soviet Union was very hostile to them, and the Iranian regime absolutely abominated the Soviet Union, they said, for sort of oppressing Muslims, particularly Shia Muslims in Azerbaijan. They quite like to reunite Azerbaijan. Of historic Azerbaijan, a third is the Republic of Azerbaijan, and two-thirds is part of Iran. So it would suit Iran for this thing to end. Now, Netanyahu, he's managed to prolong his premiership by over 6 months by massacring so many Palestinians. But obviously, there's war weariness in Israel. The reservists want to go back to civilian life. There are other problems, obviously, very costly. Many Israelis are highly cognizant that it's tarnished their reputation all around the world, even amongst their allies, like the United States. People say the UK is an Israeli ally, but there's no treaty of alliance between Israel and the United Kingdom. So that's not true. I mean, 1956, the Suez conflict, they're on the same side, but that was crucial for Israel, not for the UK. But Israel's never sent a single soldier to fight a single war the United Kingdom's been engaged in ever since, or anything like that. So I think there won't be that much more fighting. If the Iranians wanted to do something, they could have done something shortly after the 7th of October. They had some military units in Syria. They had Hezbollah in Lebanon and so forth. And when Israel was reeling after the 7th of October surprise attacks, that would have been the moment to do it. And they didn't. So they recognize they can't take them on. They could be attacked by others. I mean, in a way, I'm surprised that Israel didn't do more large airstrikes to try and take out what they claim is Iran's nascent nuclear program. It proves that Israel doesn't actually believe that, because if they did, this would be the golden opportunity. They would seem to have an excuse to throw everything they can at destroying that supposed nuclear weapons program that Israel had been accusing the Iranians of developing for 35 years. 35 years, and they still haven't got there. About 12 years ago, Netanyahu said it was 5 seconds to midnight, and this midnight never, ever happens. This doomsday cult saying Iran's about to get a nuclear weapon. Anyway, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon and donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Toodaloo.